Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday we celebrate Mother's Day. It is a very special day. So many stories about mothers in the Bible, from Moses' mom to Samuel's mom to finally Jesus' mom, Mary. I love Proverbs 31, where it talks about the wife of noble character. In verses 28 to 30, it says, "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." That is what we are doing today for all of our ladies in attendance. We are praising them for the influence they have had on their families. I've had the privilege to have many ladies make a big impact on me in my life. My Aunt Barbara never married, never had children, but she has been a strong spiritual influence on me and my brothers. She prays for us daily and has always been there at our big life events. She has definitely been a lady of noble character and one that fears the Lord. I'm so thankful for her being in my life. I pray you take time this weekend to praise the ladies that have made an impact in your life. Many of you only have the memories of those special ladies left. If that is the case, I encourage you to continue to follow the example they left you and share stories with your family of how they made a difference in your life. May God bless you with the beauty of His creation and His presence this week. And thank you for listening.
Behold, how good and pleasant it is when God's people gather together in unity and in peace.
We seek to be the living church of the risen Christ. We are gathered to worship.
Then let us worship together in the name of the one who creates, redeems, and keeps us forever.
Our senior choir sings "Celebrate the Life of Jesus."
Let us celebrate the life of Jesus. Let us celebrate.
Scripture lessons are read by Barry Berger.
Our first reading comes from Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. Moses went up the mountain to meet with the Lord God, who told him to say to the people, "You saw what I did in Egypt, and you know how I brought you here to me, just as a mighty eagle carries its young. Now, if you will faithfully obey me, you will be my very own people. The whole world is mine, but you will be my holy nation and serve me as priest. Moses, that is what you must tell the Israelites." After Moses went back, he reported to the leaders what the Lord had said. And they promised, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded." So Moses told the Lord about this. The Lord said to Moses, "I will come to you in a thick cloud and let the people hear me speak to you. Then they will always trust you." Again, Moses reported to the people what the Lord had told him. Our second reading comes from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12. The Lord's wonderful love. With all my heart, I praise the Lord, and with all that I am, I praise his holy name. With all my heart, I praise the Lord. I will never forget how kind he has been. Each day that we live, he provides for our needs and gives us the strength of a young eagle. For all who are mistreated, the Lord brings justice. He taught his law to Moses and showed all Israel what he could do. The Lord is merciful. He is kind and patient, and his love never fails. The Lord won't always be angry and point out our sins. He doesn't punish us as our sins deserve. How great is God's love for all who worship him, greater than the distance between heaven and earth. How far has the Lord taken our sins from us? Farther than the distance from east to west. That concludes our reading.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, choir. Beautiful song. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. If you want to turn to that, you're going to notice, if you've been reading through the book of Isaiah, you're going to notice a change from 39 to 40. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah contain a lot of condemnation. Isaiah is prophesying to the country of Jerusalem. It's prophesying to the nations around them, telling them that hardships are coming. But then he makes a switch in Isaiah 40. And from 40 on through chapter 66, we see lots of encouraging passages. And the passage we're going to look at this morning, everybody's familiar with. It brings forth that image of the great white bald eagle that is flying around majestically. And I remember as a kid, we didn't see them very often. I don't know if we ever saw one in our state. And it's become almost a common sight to see one in our area. Friday night at the senior night at the baseball game, out at the baseball field, all of a sudden someone looked up and over the field was an eagle flying, just kind of swooping over and checking things out. Unfortunately, it didn't bring a lot of luck to the seniors that night or the baseball team like we would have wanted it to, but people were taking out their phones and wanting to take pictures of this eagle just soaring majestically over the field. Everybody was impressed. And when we look at this passage here, God has given the nation of Israel and us encouragement. When he's predicting to the people of Jerusalem, he says, hey, in 100 years, your nation's going to fall. He says, it's going to fall. And you look at the very end of chapter 39, he's talking to the king Hezekiah there. And he says, one of these days, all the things around you are going to be taken. Even your own flesh, your own descendants are going to be taken and taken away to a faraway country, Babylon. And everything you have is going to be destroyed. Hezekiah looked at Isaiah and he thought to himself, well, hey, at least it's not in my generation. He wasn't worried about, you know, future generations. He was worried that, you know, hey, things for me are good. But not everything is good for everybody in this room and the people that we know. There's times that we will go through difficult times and we will need encouragement. So God gives us the chapter 40. It gives us all kinds of different images in there that we can bring to mind, like the soaring of an eagle's wings. He says that he will renew our strength, that he will give strength to the weary. He will help the ones that are weak. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm really, really tired. You know, it's been 5 weeks in a row, funerals. We drove to Indiana for a good friend, a sudden one, and then I've been part of four, one every week. Three of those five have been young families, young people. I consider them young. I'm 57 now. Anything around my age, I consider young. And you just look at the things. It's not myself that I'm tired physically for myself. I'm tired physically for the people. Because I know what they're facing. I know the grief that's going to overwhelm them. I know the long struggle that they have ahead of them. I know that they will get the strength, but it's going to be a hard, long road for them to have one day more joy than grief. I'm a guy that likes to kind of step in. You want to fix things immediately. You want to take away the pain. And mixed among those losses, then there's other struggles that people are going through. And you hurt for them and you just become weary because you can't fix it instantly. And so where do we go to get renewed strength? Where do we go to get the encouragement that helps us get up in the morning and put one step in front of the other with the hope that things are going to be better, just a little bit better? That one day we will have happiness again. One day, again, we'll have the strength and we will feel like we can soar on the wings like eagles. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, I want you to highlight this passage. Read the whole chapter. We're going to look at another verse in just a minute here just to give us a visual image of another way to help us visualize how God supports us in those times. But I want to start with verse 26. He says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? They're complaining. They're complaining about their circumstances. And, you know, why, God, don't you take away and make things right now? Why don't you heal me and make the situation the way that I want? This is God's answer. This is the passage that's famous, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And sign me up for that one. I need a place. But sign me up for that. I want that renewed strength. So when we look around and we see people hurting, we're going through those struggles ourselves, where can we go and get re-energized? Maybe you feel like the character from The Green Mile, John Coffey. It's that scene when he's in the jail cell. He's waiting to be, you know, executed for a crime he didn't commit. He has a magical gift to heal people. And he talks about this being tired. He says, I'm tired, boss. Tired of being on the road. Lonely as a sparrow in the rain. I'm tired of never having me a buddy to be with, to tell me where we's going to, coming from, or why. Mostly I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. I'm tired of all the pain I feel and hear in the world every day. There's too much of it. It's like pieces of glass in my head all the time. When we admit that we are weary and weak and worn out, God can work on our behalf. I'm sure everybody in this room can remember a time when they were exhausted, mentally, physically, and spiritually. That happened for me when my Grandpa Cobb passed away. That week, man, it was a long week. Man, the funeral, we were at the hospital for 3 days, and we slept in the visitor's room one day. We slept in my Aunt Reed and Uncle Bob's RV. We got woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning because we was blocking, of all things, the library mobile truck or whatever. They had to get on their route, and we got woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And we brought Grandpa home to his house, and we stayed up with him. He passed away about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I remember that week, just exhausted, planning for the funeral. And then we got done with that on Saturday. We came home, and Dad and I decided to go turkey hunt that next day because Grandpa liked being out in the woods. And I don't know if we slept out there or what. We didn't see anything. We didn't get anything. And I remember coming home that night just physically and emotionally exhausted. I didn't feel like I could go one step further until I hit the bed with all the things that have been going on in our lives. And you look around at yourself, and I'm sure there's people in this room right now that are going through that right now, wondering how they can go on, wondering what God will do. And we see the examples here that we have here, that he tells us that he will be there to give us hope, that he will be there to give us encouragement. But maybe in your translation, instead of saying those who hope in the Lord, it says those who wait on the Lord. I don't know about you, but I hate to wait. I'm impatient. I want things done immediately. I want the pain to go away immediately. If I know something's coming up, I want to get there immediately. We had the grandkids with us for a few hours yesterday just to kind of give their mom and dad their moving, and they just need to get them out from underfoot. They came to our house. You know, they did not want to eat. Don't tell them this. I hope they're not watching. We called it chicken, but it was pork steak. All right. Everything in their mind is chicken, and they love chicken. And so when their mom and dad walked in, I said, they had chicken tonight. And they knew exactly what they meant. So they ate a little bit of chicken. The one likes peas. The other one likes grapes. So we switched those up. But they were waiting for the dessert. They didn't want to eat everything. They wanted to get to dessert. And we look at our lives the same way, that we want God to heal the situations in our life. And it's hard for us to wait, but we can wait when we've seen God work in our past. The Israelites had seen God work. For 40 years through the desert, a physical desert, God had provided for them. He was the sole source of their food and their drink. They weren't doing this on their own, but God had provided for them, brought them through the desert. We see in the book of Judges that the man named Gideon, they were going to go take on the Midianites, and he had an army of thousands. But God said, you've got too many people with you. I want you to make sure that you know it's me that's delivering you and not your own power. So they went there with an army of 300. The other image I want you to look at in Isaiah chapter 40 is found in verse 11. As I read it, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to visualize exactly what I'm reading right here. It says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And I think of a small little lamb being picked up. It's too tired to go forward. It's too tired to go on. And God has picked it up and put it close to his heart. And he's carrying it when we can't go on ourselves. He says, those that hope or wait in the Lord, they will have their strength renewed. But how do we know to get that power? Where do we go to get that power? We need to go to the right source. You know, everybody in here maybe has an iPhone or they have an Android. I got mine with me. I'm on about 36% right now. You know, I'll probably have to recharge it tonight. About every other night I have to recharge it. I was visiting with some people this past week on Wednesday. I went to see a couple families, and I had not gotten charged. I didn't have one of those adapters in my car, and it was down to a really low, 5%. And I was having to depend on the maps to get me to the right place. And finally, I knew I was running out. I couldn't trust the map. So I just called my last visit. I said, where is your house? I need directions. I'm running out of power. And so I get to his house, and I said, hey, do you have a charge cord? I need to charge my phone. He says, I've got an Android. And so I couldn't even charge it there. But every couple days, I need to charge my phone, and I have to have the right cord. I have to put it into the outlet in the wall, or we have the adapter in Betty's car, the Prius. It doesn't work if I have the wrong cord. It doesn't work if I plug it into my gas tank, or I put it next to a windmill or a solar panel, or, you know, whatever the case may be. It doesn't work unless I connect it to the right source. It says, those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. See, the key is those three words, in the Lord. Making sure we're finding our time, making sure that we're charging up with him on a regular basis. If I only charge my phone in once a week, it would last maybe two, maybe 2.5 days. Why do I do that last 4.5 days? Do I wait till Sunday to come again and get charged up? He tells us that we need to be connected to the right source on a regular basis. I like the movie, The Karate Kid, the original one. It's been on AMC. It's like it's on every other day now. So, I mean, if you've not seen it yet, it's on you, not on me, all right? And so I like that part where Mr. Miyagi walks into the Cobra Kai, you know, training place, and they all gather around. They're going to attack Daniel. Daniel's not been trained yet. What does Mr. Miyagi do with Daniel? He puts him behind him. He's protecting him. See, Jesus picked up on this phrase in John chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. See, we don't have to take these battles on our own. We just need to be part of the right flock of the shepherd with the right one in front of us. He's in front of us. We're behind him. He's treating us and he's healing us and he's taking care of us. We have to rely on his strength. Two verses I want you to write down and put in your Bibles and put them in your memory bank. Many of us, we go to get our temporary fix for energy. Maybe for you, it's a certain drink. If Betty's had a long day working, you know, from home, I'll come home and she says, you know, she'll just be shaking her head. I'll say, it's time for an MD, isn't it? That means Mountain Dew in my language. It's time for an MD. She said, oh yeah, I've already had half of one already, she says. She says, I'll be up all night. And I said, that's all right, that's fine. Maybe your thing is maybe a person in your life. Maybe it's a location. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's some type of medication that we get a temporary re-energized in our life. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 where this power comes from. In 2 Corinthians 4 verses 7 through 10 he says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're the jars of clay. The Holy Spirit lives in our life. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. He said, this power, when you're trying to do it on your own, he says, you're going about it the wrong way. Plug into me and my power. And then again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul pleads about the thorn in his flesh, he says, I pleaded 3 times for him to take it away. That's just like me. God, I'm tired of this situation. Get me out of here. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Hope in me, wait in me, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's hard for me to rely on someone else to help me out in a situation. But God gives us the cure. He gives us the prescription. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So how do we hope or wait in the Lord? Number one, we need to be connected. We need to have a regular engagement with his word. There's no other secret. There's no like shake hands 3 times, spin around and walk 10 paces this way and you'll find the secret to it. It's one that we have to be regularly engaged. An active, focused reading of his word on a regular basis. So then we get access to that charging, not just once a week or maybe twice a week, regularly. As I've said, these last 5-6 weeks have been very difficult. Mixed in among those funerals have been all kinds of other situations where I hurt and I ache for other people. I know what they're facing. I know what they're going to have to go up against. It's going to be a long haul. And for several of them, I text scriptures to them. Psalm 121. Psalm 46, Psalm 34, Psalm 23, Isaiah 40, this passage here. I text them all. I did it yesterday to 2 families that are waiting on medical news. We're waiting on news that could be go one way or the other, and we're worried and we're praying about that. So I texted them a couple passages. I know when Chris and Jennifer were going through that last week, I was texting Jennifer different passages, and she would send me back a heart saying that she loved that passage, and that was sustaining them through this very difficult time. But then after we've had that connection spiritually through his word and we've had that encouragement for those around us, the last thing that we have to do is we have to go through difficult times to see God's power at work. There's no easy way around it. Sometimes we have to go through that desert and have to be forced with something that's difficult to see when we get to the other end that God's power has been there with us the whole way. I looked up eagles, how they train their eaglets to fly. It says eagles are very protective of their child, but when it comes to training, they never compromise anything. When an eaglet gets wings, the eagle holds him in its wings and goes higher in the sky at the highest point from the earth where a natural creature can fly. Now it starts the dangerous part of the training. After reaching that height, the eagle drops the eaglet to make him feel that he is not a regular bird who just sits on the roof and never reaches above the clouds. At first, the eaglet can't understand what is happening to him. As he plummets, he reaches a distance of 9 kilometers above ground level. He tries to open his wings and flap its full potential, but since he is not capable of flying, he reaches even closer to the earth. Can you imagine the PTSD if we did that with our children? Send them out into the street and just, you know, wait for a car to get real close and then snatch them from the danger. See, we'll just do that about 20 more times and you'll be able to function in society. I think we'd have a little problem with that. But that's how the eagle trains its young. And just before it hits the ground and he feels like dying, then a claw comes in and carries the eaglet to her heart. And it's none other than her mother, who continuously flies with the eaglet to monitor him. This process continues until the eaglet learns to fly. This is how the eaglet becomes the eagle and the king of the sky. The eagle takes care of the eaglets for 10 to 12 weeks until it does not fly by itself. Then it takes 1 to 2 months for the eaglets to learn from their parents and hone their flying and feeding skills. After that, the eagles are given freedom to their babies and have no more control over them. Can you imagine that if we had kids that we were done with them in just a few months? Wow, that'd be awesome. Sometimes, especially those terrible twos and threes. Now it's their time to be independent, find a mate for them, and make their own family skillfully. See, sometimes God is pushing us out of the nest. He's pushing us hard, letting us plummet, let us get in the strength in our wings, and he comes in and like that lamb, he holds us close to his heart, and he takes us back up again. He lets us fall, let us strength of our wings grow in its strength, so then we can learn to fly through the difficult times of life. One person said it this way, you cannot fly like an eagle with the wings of a wren. If you want to soar like an eagle in life, you can't be flocking with the turkeys. Don't quack like a duck, soar like an eagle. The eagle has no fear of adversity. We need to be like the eagle and have a fearless spirit of conqueror. Eagles are the only bird that soars above the storm clouds. The other ones go and hide for safety, but the eagle flies above. See, God might be pushing each one of us out of the nest a little bit to gain our strength, so we can be there to help those that are going through and looking for that power, that strength that only comes from the Lord. We hide in the shelter of his wings. We hide in the safety of the shepherd and his flock. But there comes a time when we have to run, and we will get weary each day. We will get tired each week. Different stages of life, I was a lot stronger when I was younger. As I've gotten older, I need that 20 or 30 minute nap after lunch about every day, it seems. Betty yesterday left after we got back from the funeral for the Reimlers. Betty went to Jeff City to get some stuff for some things. She's at a wedding shower today up at Macon with her family. She left me, and before she left, she says, you know, you're going to take a nap, aren't you? And I said, I don't know. I don't think so. I'm watching the golf. I'm watching something. 10 minutes later, man, I'm out for like 30 minutes. We need that encouragement. We need that physical rest. But to get spiritually recharged each and every day, spiritually, to handle the weariness and the struggles of life, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.